Hello and welcome to episode 2 of our new summer podcast series on there being no excuse for bad benefits. I'm Matthew Gregson, Head of Corporate here at Howden Employee Benefits and Wellbeing, and I'll be bringing you today's insights. Now, episode 2, we've decided to focus on right-sizing your investment in benefits. For those of you, whether or not you've listened to episode 1, we touched then on how to undertake a strategic review. And most importantly, thinking about the relationship between cost and value, whether or not to invest in benefits and expect a higher return on investment, or whether or not to potentially right-size or shrink your investment in benefits, but potentially expect less back in return. And we talked about the building blocks that come in that decision-making, and funding, which is what we're fundamentally talking about today, is probably the most important part of any benefit program design to tackle first, as we are now. So what I hope to leave you with after today is to think around the principles that go into how much to invest and where to invest that money. And then also the question of how you successfully affect that change. As of course, when we make changes to our benefits program, particularly to funding, that can often have contractual obligations that are impacted, that may require consultation with employees, and so on and so forth. So I'm very mindful that this is often one of the most important aspects of our program to review, but often one of the most challenging to undertake a review of as well. So let's dive into the detail. So how is it we get an understanding of how much to invest in the program? Well, this is where I come back to several of the components we talked about in episode 1. So no doubt, one of the facets of our program we want to ensure we achieve is a sense of competitiveness. Ultimately, we are competing for talent. And so needless to say, we need to make sure that we look broadly in line with what the competition is doing. We may have reasons we want to invest slightly more or slightly less, but whatever sector we're in, it's very likely that people now have more awareness and visibility of that benefits offer, and that's going to form part of their decision-making and expectations on joining you. And so having an uncompetitive benefits offer that doesn't match expectations is ultimately going to be to the detriment of finding and keeping the right people. Not only that, in terms of deciding how much to invest, comes down to a big cultural decision as well. There are some businesses that may feel that it's more rather than less incumbent on them to help support their employees' needs, to invest more into retirement, healthcare protection, because you feel that as a culture and as a business, you want to do more than maybe is obligated on you, or even more than your competition to support your people, is a key part of that decision making as well. There are many great businesses out there, depending upon where they're at their own stage of their business journey, who may well feel like over-investing in benefits would be to their detriment right now. Maybe that doesn't form part of the employee value proposition. Maybe there are alternatives they can offer, such as equity or accelerated career progression, which means that now isn't the time to invest in benefits. But where the business is at and what the culture of the business is at is fundamental to helping make that decision of how much to invest in benefits. So very mindful to go out and get that information from your stakeholders. And then finally, your legacy position is key as well. As is often an Irish quoted proverb, I believe, if you were trying to get there, you wouldn't start here. And ultimately, sadly, a lot of us can start in a bad position or inherit a bad benefits package. And so in reality, our ability to shift quickly to what great looks like could often be a significant barrier, because ultimately there's too many legacy entitlements and expectations we'd have to overcome. And therefore the question of how do we successfully prioritize and manage our people through that level of change, and whether or not the timing is right to execute that level of change, has to be a key decision as well. So once you have an understanding of that context in which you're thinking about how much to invest, the next big decision is all about where to invest that money. Now that comes down to a question of not only the pot of money you want to spend, but which benefits that's divided up between, and also then which employees you feel should get a significant portion of that investment. And to help you navigate that, we feel it's really important to consider a set of design principles that you and your stakeholders can evaluate your choices against. To give you some examples of what I mean by that, and no doubt you can create your own as well, but the first one for me is always, are we looking to offer? Does the market dictate? Do our employees want the same offer for everybody? Or do we believe that we should differentiate benefits on certain criteria, such as length of service or grade, i.e. I get more the more senior I am? That goes down to that question of culture, as well as that question of competitiveness. It's one of the most compelling ones for any business to answer about their benefits. On from there then, it might be that actually the nature of the business and the expectation of employees leans you towards, would you have a more traditional benefits offering with high funding levels for big ticket items like healthcare, protection and retirement? Or is it instead that you may well move your focus towards choice? That doesn't mean say you'd invest less, but it may well be that instead you present appropriate minimums to your employees and say a flex pot on top, and allow them to direct that funding as they wish. There may then also be critical questions such as whether or not you provide any family-based entitlements. It's quite a contentious decision, this, as to whether or not you'd fund family healthcare, for example. Should the amount you spend on me be based upon whether or not I have a partner and children, or should it be purely based upon the role that I do? And then finally, you've got to think of considerations like whether or not you'd allow employees to in cash from their benefits program. It's worth building up your own set of principles and then even just debating and discussing them with your key stakeholders to see where they would end up on the spectrum for each one of those questions to help you determine what shape of benefits you want going forwards. And then ultimately, based upon that, you're really going to understand a couple of key points. Firstly, which benefits do we want to invest in and why? Retirement, protection, health, well-being, annual leave, family policies and the like. And also then ultimately, which employees do we want to direct that money to? And whether or not we believe it should be, for example, hierarchical in nature. Once you have a sense of that, then you can start to tinker in the detail. And not only is that question of hierarchy one of the biggest possible decisions you'll make there, but also whether or not flexible benefits is the right type of approach for you, particularly if you're having to appeal to a very diverse workforce. Diverse in terms of salaries, diverse in terms of family status and situation, diverse in terms of ages and where they are on their personal career journey. All of those things should fundamentally influence how much you invest, where you invest them from a benefits perspective, and where you invest them from a people perspective. And then finally, when you think about this change, as I say, very rarely do we have a blank sheet of paper. Almost always, we have a starting position, which we may well be solving for if we feel that that investment either isn't right-sized today, or potentially it's simply not as well designed as it could be. And that's why I want to touch on harmonisation quickly, because more often than not, it's companies where they are forced or compelled, or indeed they have the desire to produce one common benefits package for all employees, which is where we tend to see the most success. But that's not without its difficulty, as you're then starting to think about buying out legacy entitlements, and when you're starting to think about the need to potentially consult with employees. But the one thing I'd implore you there is, every company that I've worked with that's looked to go through a process of harmonizing or changing benefits, although that change management process is a challenging one, it's almost always a rewarding one at the end of the process, as employees see fairness, transparency, and a better direction of that investment towards their personal needs. But that doesn't mean to say that it can't be achieved without being properly planned and mapped out, and again, being supported by the culture and communications of the business. So we're almost there for our 10-minute session today. As I say, when you're thinking about right-sizing that investment in benefits, the key things I'd implore you to do and think about those decision-making principles that will help you shape the future design of your benefits, particularly which benefits to invest in and which of your people to invest that spend in. And then ultimately, if you do go about fundamental change, think about that change management process and how you can successfully bring employees in that journey with you. So even if you are taking away or replacing benefits, they only see it as a positive because of how well you've engaged them through the process. That's it for today. Thank you ever so much for joining us for episode 2, and looking forward to speaking to you next time.